The International Catholic Peace Organization, Pax Christi, is calling for an immediate and impartial investigation into a series of political assassinations in Honduras as the first anniversary of a military coup that overturned the government approaches. Describing Honduras as a dysfunctional and failing state, Pax Christi is also calling for reform of the nation's judicial system to strengthen democracy. Two Pax Christi advocacy officers sat down with me soon after their return from a fact-finding mission to Honduras. Listen in to our conversation, beginning with some background.
In a June 2009 coup, troops in Honduras ousted President Manuel Zelaya and flew him out of the country after a power struggle over plans to change the constitution. Mr. Zelaya, elected for a non-renewable four-year term in 2006, had wanted changes to the constitution that would allow a vote to extend his time in office. His arrest came just before the start of a referendum ruled illegal by the Supreme Court and opposed by Congress. There had also been resistance within Mr. Zelaya's own party to the plan for the vote. Congress appointed Speaker Roberto Micheletti, an outspoken critic of Zelaya's and member of the president's own Liberal Party, as acting head of state.
Well, it's not the first time the impoverished Central American country of 7 million has seen a dramatic coup. Two elected presidents were overthrown by the military in 1963 and 75, and it wasn't until 1981 that the army relinquished control of the government to civilians. But what is the situation in Honduras like today? Joining me in studio is Father Paul Lansu of the International Secretariat of Pax Christi International in Belgium, and Jeff Felix, who is on the executive board of Pax Christi International. I'd like to start with you, Father Paul. You were part of the Pax Christi fact-finding team that went to Honduras in March, 9 months after the coup. It was the second Pax Christi visit there since the recent coup. Could you give us a bit more background as to what led up to that coup and how the current government is generally viewed by the population?
Indeed, we went with seven people in a delegation of Pax Christi International to Honduras. And this was indeed the second visit looking at what is going on right now in the country and also to meet people and to discuss and to see what's going on. We have been meeting quite a lot of people, in a broad range of people, both from the church as well as from political parties, as well as diplomats, the civil society with trade unions and women's organizations, etc. And we had a good experience talking with these people, and many of these people were very, very frustrated about what happened last year. At the end of June, when the so-called coup d'état against President Zelaya took place, we noticed different juridical constitutional discussions about who is right and who is wrong in this discussion. It is difficult to find the real juridical approach on this. But anyway, most of the people we met stated that this was a coup d'état and that for several reasons President Zelaya at that time he wanted to reform not only the constitution, but also he had some social programs to be implemented. And in fact, a coalition of people, different powers within the Honduran society and political circles, they came to the conclusion that the policies of President Zelaya at that time had to come to an end because they were afraid of having misdirections of the political situation in Honduras. There was also a strong link made by different of our speakers, making the link with the role of Venezuela in this game.
With Venezuela.
Venezuela, mm-hmm. President Chavez supporting President Zelaya, also other presidents of the region doing that. So it was very difficult to have the real situation having President Zelaya at that time over there. Anyway, the coup took place. Many people and even the international community stated that that coup is not allowed to take place. The USA, first of all, but also the United Nations, the European Union, the Organization of American States didn't accept that that could take place.
They condemned it.
They condemned it. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, elections took place in November last year. And there the debate was a bit, are you going to take part to, in the election process, yes or no? The new president came out of that. And in fact, the question is now, are we going to recognize this new government since November last year, yes or no? Because one critical issue we also discussed with development and aid organizations is that since the coup d'etat, the finances and the aid promised by the international community stopped and was blocked. But who are the first victims of that policy? And we noticed that that the poor are the first victims of that type of policy. So we were a little bit also discussing about ourselves, and we were not clear among ourselves also about how to deal with that fact that you have to protect the poor and you have the option of the poor. But at the same time, are you now recognizing this government, which is coming out of a coup d'etat because of the fact that there is a need for development aid to be given to the poor and to the needed people, yes or no? So the question of recognition of the government, normalization, as it is called in political terms, is a big question. And meanwhile, we have noticed also that human rights have been violating quite strongly.
Okay. Well, I was going to say that the country is very poor. It's largely sustained by coffee and banana exports, from what I've been reading. But why is it that we don't hear anything about Honduras in the news?
That's we are questioning the same question. If you look at other parts of the world, even El Salvador, we were there also for the commemorations of the 30th anniversary of the murder of Monsieur Oscar Romero. There you have more international interest and more international attendance also from civil society from abroad. Well, there is a lack of interest into the situation of Honduras, and I don't know why that is. But indeed, Honduras is the second poorest country of that part of the world, next to Haiti. It is Honduras. And we traveled over the mountains a lot in Haiti from one city to the other also to meet bishops and to meet human rights defenders. And we have seen poverty in the barrios, etc. So it is a reality that Honduras is the second poorest country of that part of the world.
Jeff, this current government is seen as a de facto government. As Father Paul was saying, we have to come to a decision now whether to recognize the legality of this government or not. I mean, what was your feeling there on the ground? What do people want there?
We found that what the people want, first of all, is peace and return to normality and to a decent life. The majority is poor, and they are even becoming poorer now by the blockage of the humanitarian aid. But people are also asking that justice would be done. There is no reconciliation possible without justice.
Okay, what kind of justice? I mean, we don't know what's been going on really in Honduras. Yes. I understand that there has been a series of assassinations and violence. Now, who is perpetrating this against whom?
Yeah, indeed, you can read every day in the newsletters about assassinations of human rights people, especially also journalists are focus of these assassinations. And we noticed in our gatherings and in our discussions a lot of facts that human rights people are attacked by military and by certain parts of the authorities. And some of them have been killed. So there is a real problem of the human rights context right now in Honduras, especially since the events of the 28th of June last year. But it is still going on. It is even going worse. And there we really want to call the Honduran government to take its responsibility to protect also the human rights defenders. And especially, we need to mention that for sure, that is that in the Honduran society, there is a very big, what you can call, a resistance movement. It is, according to us, a non-violent resistance movement, although sometimes there are extremists infiltrating, etc., making use of violence and also threatening the cardinal, for instance. That has to be condemned for sure. But there is a broad resistance movement.
It's called the FNRP.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We call it a non-violent popular resistance movement. And it is composed of trade unions, of women's organizations, even sectors of the church are part of it. So, and they are asking for recognition by the political authorities that they exist, at least that they exist, because they are neglected by the political authorities right now. And so we discussed this also with the resistance movement leaders, whether they should become a political party, yes or no. They are not yet clear about that. But anyway, they are asking for a political space in the Honduran context. That is their request. But meanwhile, the human rights violations are going on, and that has to be condemned very clearly.
Now, Jeff, I know Pax Christi is joining those who've been calling for an immediate and impartial investigation into what are seen as politically motivated assassinations. You're also calling for reform of the country's judicial system to strengthen democracy there. Do you see any progress on this front?
So far, none. We have spoken about the so-called Truth Commission that the United Nations is calling for. But these Truth Commissions should be set up by the Honduran government. So they are at the same time judge and party.
Mm-hmm. So you don't know how impartial they would be, of course, right?
Therefore, we call that the United Nations should consider sending a special human rights rapporteur to Honduras to observe the process of the Truth Commission and to observe the process of restoring the judicial system, which is not functioning. You see, political world is not functioning, judicial world is not functioning, mm-hmm. The civil society tries to survive, but there's no democracy. So I'm afraid we have to say that Honduras at this moment is somehow a dysfunctioning state, not to say a failing state. And the first victims are the poor, the people.
Talking about the Truth Commissions, of course we are in favor of a Truth Commission for Honduras. But right now, I think, and right from the beginning, the conditions to have a good functioning Truth Commission were not there. And we are questioning the Truth Commission. Meanwhile, what needs to be done, and there is a lack of a kind of a dialogue within the society and within the political fractions. There is a lack of dialogue. You cannot start a Truth Commission without having discussions and dialogue amongst the different people. So they really need to set up a dialogue in the direction of reconciliation, in the direction of Truth Commissions, and healing of the past. And there I think the Roman Catholic Church can play a role and should play a good role in guiding a bit into the direction. The problem is that within the Catholic Church, not everybody is on the same line.
In what way? I know that people have been critical of the bishops' conference there in Honduras for not taking a line against
this
violence.
That's true. I think they have not come out with that statement at the right moment, you know. Mm-hmm. There is a need for some leadership from the Roman Catholic Church, at least, to say. But on the local level, many priests and pastoral workers, who are also under threats, by the way, but many of these local people from the church, they are very active in educating also the population. We met the different bishops, and even among the bishops, you can hear different opinions, analysis, that is true. But we really hope that the bishops' conference can come to kind of a consensus amongst themselves as well, and that they could take the lead in that direction of justice, in the direction of reconciliation through a truth commission, but an independent truth commission. And that should be the process to go.
Okay. And any action on the part of the international community other than what we've discussed before?
Well, certainly the whole issue of normalization should be discussed. And I think the USA has already normalized the relationship with Honduras. By the way, we met with the U.S. Ambassador in Tegucigalpa. And meanwhile, we are staying in contact also with him via email communication on the human rights violations, and he's follow up very closely what is happening on that side as well. But he's calling also the resistance movement to be. Well, for him it was a pity that they didn't participate in the elections. And so he's calling, in fact, the popular movement, the resistance movement, to become more official, formal political party and make use of that space they need as a political party. But they are not yet that far.
And a warm thanks there to Father Paul Lansou of the International Secretariat of Pax Christi International in Belgium, and to Jeff Felix of Pax Christi International's Executive Board.